This is the Quality News Network. The head of a radical mosque in Islamabad, Pakistan, says he and his followers would rather die than surrender. The siege of the Red Mosque is in its third day, and Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf has said his troops will not storm the mosque while women and children are inside. 19 people have been killed. Shots were fired at President Musharraf's plane as it took off from a military base today. A senior security official is calling it a failed assassination attempt. Military police, though, found a cache of weapons on the roof of a house near the airport, but none were anti-aircraft weapons. Musharraf was unhurt. Another Republican senator is breaking with President Bush over the war in Iraq. Six-term U.S. Senator Pete Domenici of New Mexico said he wants to see an end to U.S. combat operations in Iraq. He says he wants U.S. troops home by next spring. Domenici is one of several Republican stalwarts who have recently come out against the way the White House is running the war. Two NATO soldiers have been killed during an operation in eastern Afghanistan. Alliance officials have not disclosed the nationalities of the soldiers or the area where the operation took place. Most NATO soldiers serving in eastern Afghanistan are American. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown says police are getting to the bottom of a cell behind the failed car bombings in London and Glasgow, Scotland. Australian police have questioned five more doctors and seized new evidence, including computers and other materials. Thailand's new draft constitution has been approved by a military-backed commission. It'll be put into a national referendum next month. Saturday's Live Earth concert in Rio will go on as planned after a judge overturned a ruling which effectively canceled the event due to a lack of police security. Eight concerts are being held around the world, one on each continent, to raise awareness of global warming. Weather forecasters say record-setting heat could last across the American West well into next week, the result of a large high-pressure center. Temperatures have spiked into the triple digits in Southern California, Nevada, and Arizona, and authorities have warned residents in some of those areas that outdoor activity could be dangerous, except in the cooler morning hours. And we'll look at science and business news just ahead. Now this.
What are you doing?
Fertilizing the lawn. Do you want to help?
No, not really. But didn't you just do that last week?
Yeah, I did. I want the lawn to be really lush and green this year.
Dad, what happens when those sprinklers come on?
We give the grass a good long drink.
That water runs off with the fertilizer in it and gets into the bay, or it can harm the fish.
So what should I do?
Use just the minimum recommended amount. The lawn will be just as green, and you'll be saving our ocean.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Hello, I'm CHP Officer Felix Isararas. Law enforcement officers throughout the state are committed to removing drunk drivers from California roadways before they kill or injure themselves, or worse, an innocent victim. Right now, local law enforcement and the CHP are conducting DUI checkpoints to find drunk drivers and keep California roads safe.
Always designate a sober driver. And if you see a drunk driver on the road, call 911. A message from the Office of Traffic Safety and California Highway Patrol.
Five baby Bengal tigers have made their debut at a zoo in Guadalajara, Mexico. The litter was born in April, the result of a natural breeding program. Biologists at Washington State University say they've isolated a bacteria that contributed to the deaths of thousands of bighorn sheep over the last five decades. Tissue taken from dying lambs contained a bacteria that, when ingested by the sheep, made them susceptible to pneumonia. Microsoft says problems with Xbox 360 could cost the company $1 billion to make right. Microsoft won't say how many consoles had to be repaired, but they will provide a free three-year extended warranty to customers who were inconvenienced. An infamous computer hacker claims he's cracked Apple iPhone's activation, which would allow iPhone customers to use a wireless company other than AT&T. John Leck Johansson, also known as DVD John, details how it's done on his blogging post, iPhone Independence Day. And growth in the U.S. service sector rose unexpectedly last month, while the job market picked up some momentum. U.S. manufacturing growth also accelerated in June. Thursday's closing numbers on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 11 points at 13,565, NASDAQ up 11 points, the S&P 500 up a half point. And there's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board.
Oh.
11, oh, 11,
and most of
11.
And amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Well, hell, all right, everybody, welcome aboard. It's Friday, and that's always a good thing, because that means it's Billy Shear's Music Day, and it's been a double shot week for it this week. Well, because, you know, I was off air due to internet problems for a week or so there, but welcome aboard, everybody. You're on the Head On Radio Network here. John Fox coming to you from Sydney, Australia, and it's going to be a little bit of free form today. I've been kind of busy this evening taking care of a bit of a web drama for one of my friends, and you know, you got to do these things once in a while. And, we'll do some stuff. And, you know, the big Live Earth thing is happening this weekend. And I haven't talked much about it because I'm a bit, shall we say, of two definite minds about it. And I find, you know, I find it a tad hypocritical. But in the overall scheme of things, I hope that it brings awareness, which then creates action. And, you know, in the grand scheme, one international rock concert's not going to make a huge difference. But yet I do find a certain level of hypocrisy with it, even though they're making all of it carbon neutral. And from what I understand from reports this morning is, the Sydney venue has done such a good job that promoters of all kinds of events are going to ask for their blueprints of how they've pulled this off to make it as, to limit the damage done, I guess. And, you know, they've got Price Waterhouse involved, and they're going to do a big calculation of the carbon footprint and you know, do the old compensation thing to cover whatever's been done. And so, I don't want to go all poo-poo-poo on it because, you know, anything to, you know, it's kind of like to bring awareness. I shouldn't say anything, but it's one of those things that, you know, I'm having a little trouble with the gesture, but I like the thought behind it. And, you know, if I don't know, like I said, I'm really of two distinct minds about the whole thing. However, at the Sydney show, if you watch it this weekend, please make sure that you watch the Sydney portion, because very possibly the greatest songwriting band in Australian New Zealand history has reformed. Crowded House has reformed and put out a new record, and they made an appearance on Breakfast Television this morning and did four songs, and it was pretty damn spectacular. And I learned a bit of trivia that I didn't know previously, and if Mr. Shears is listening, he'll enjoy this. Sometime in the not so distant past, someone asked Paul McCartney how it felt to be the world's greatest ever pop songwriter, rock songwriter. And he, without a hesitation, turned around and said, "I'm not. Neil Finn is." And Neil Finn is the lead singer and creative genius behind Crowded House. And Crowded House lost their longtime drummer to suicide about 2 years ago, and they've replaced him with a wonderful, wonderful drummer. And I swear they sound better than ever. So, you know, regardless of how I feel about the event, I'll probably tune into the stream just to catch Crowded House, because they're something spectacular. And just class, absolute class when it comes to music, you know. And it's one of those funny things, you know. They're actually really a New Zealand band, but because they made their name here in Australia before they went and took over the world, Australia's taken them on as their own, as Australia tends to do with everything good that comes out of New Zealand. Like I said, I'm of two minds, but I hope that the message gets out. I have so much time and respect for Al Gore and what he's doing. I'm not going to let this thing overshadow all the other really, really, really good work he has done to bring exposure and enlightenment to the subject of our planet and climate change and the absolutely dire situation this blue marble is in at the moment. And if we don't pull our heads in and pull our consumption back in a drastic way, we're gonna get to that point where it's gonna be, you know, too late, kids. Too bad. You shouldn't have waited so damn long. Jimmy Carter was right. The hippies have been right. And, you know, and in London, Spinal Tap's reforming for this, so, you know, I'll have to watch for that, just for that. You know, it's a big thing when Spinal Tap reforms. Like I said, it's one that I kind of I really have battled with, and I haven't talked about much because I didn't want to go on a Gore bashing thing, because I won't do that. It's too important, even though the deniers or those that don't care for Al will ride this aspect of it for all it's worth. And, you know, for one time in a million, they have there's some validity to it. However, you know, like I said, maybe this'll start some new ways of doing things. You know, the Big Day Out, the big concert festival here annually this year in Australia, went carbon neutral because they just felt that they couldn't go on doing things the way that they were doing it. And, so we'll see. We'll see what comes out of it. And rock stars being role models in this aspect, because touring is really wasteful. It's incredibly wasteful. And it's, you know, but some people are trying to do the right thing. You know, there are bands out there that have biodiesel buses and, you know, all kinds of other things. And they're trying, you know, because it's tough. So anyway, we're going to head out to the first break. And when we come back, we're going to come back with Mr. Billy Shears, the one, the only Billy Shears. And you can find his website at billyshearsmusic.com. And I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, in all the confusion and me missing time on air, I believe today is Billie Holiday. And so I reckon this will be just fantastic and something a little bit different than normal. But then again, Billie's stuff is always different. So stick around, folks. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. And straight after this, it's Friday, and that means Billie Shears. We'll be right back.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
And again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's what they are. Kick them in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
No, that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio. 11 a.m. to noon weekdays here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Eleanor Fagan, better known as Billie Holiday, was born in Baltimore, Maryland, April 7, 1915. Her professional name was taken from one of her favorite actresses, Billie Dove, and her probable father, Clarence Holiday.
I fell in love with you the first time I looked into them eyes.
The great actor Burt Lancaster was a big Billie Holiday fan. Close to his 80th birthday, after his doctor told him that his heart was failing, his family and friends threw him a big party. One of the presents was a gift box set of Billie Holiday. While listening to her wonderful recordings, Burt Lancaster slipped away. Now that's a beautiful exit.
You better look out, little brown eyes, if you're wise. They sparkle, they bubble. They're gonna get you in a whole lot of trouble. Oh, baby, them they eyes.
And here she is, Lady Day herself, Miss Billie Holiday.
Lady sings the blues.
Billie, I'm just wondering if you might tell us how people began to call you Lady Day.
Well, Lester Young gave me the name.
Does it signify anything special? Just a sort of a twist on
it? Well, he thinks I'm the Lady of Song.
You have a most unusual style. Everybody says that. How did you develop it? Did it just come out of the thin
blues? Well, I always wanted to sing like Louis Armstrong played. I always wanted to sing like an instrument.
Well, I guess that's why all the instrumentalists are so crazy about your style.
Treats me oh so mean. My man, he don't love me. He treats me awful mean. He's the lowest man that I've ever seen.
Billy, you've recorded so many songs. Which of the songs that you have recorded did you compose yourself?
Oh, I did Billy's Blues, Fine and Mellow.
That was Willis Conover, the voice of American disc jockey who fought the Cold War with cool music. In that interview, she mentioned one of her greatest compositions, Fine and Mellow. That track was a very last-minute thought.
Suddenly, need one more side. So, I said, I know, let's do a blues and let's make the introduction like an organ grounder, you know, da-da-da-da-da, you know. And right there, I made it all up right in the studio.
The first record I made, I was about 13. And it was Benny Goodman's band, but he didn't really have a band then. He was working in studio work. And he got a group of studio men together and made this session. And I was scared to death. I didn't want to sing in the mic. I just wanted to sing, period.
I see.
I was scared to death of the mic. He wears high-draped pants, stripes are really yellow. He wears high-draped pants, stripes on the leg, yellow. But when he starts in to love me, he is so fine.
As Billie Holiday mentioned, she developed her vocal style to sing like Louis Armstrong played. She loved Satchmo, so one can only imagine her disappointment when Holiday was outshined by Ella Fitzgerald to land a duet with Armstrong in Dream a Little Dream.
Stars shining bright above you, night breezes seem to whisper, I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore tree, dream a little dream of me. Say nighty night and kiss me. Just hold me tight and tell me you'll miss me. While I'm alone and blue as can be, dream a little dream of me.
Stars fading, but I linger on, dear.
Oh, how you linger on.
Still craving your kiss.
How you crave my kiss.
Now I'm longing to linger till dawn, dear. Just in this.
Give me a little kiss, sweet dreams. Till sunbeams find you, sweet dreams that leave all worries behind you. But in your dreams, whatever they be, dream a little dream of me.
Buzz, 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 buzz,
buzz, buzz,
fading, but I linger on, dear. Still craving your kiss.
Don't did it, don't did do for people.
Yeah, I'm longing to linger till dawn,
dear.
Just saying this.
Sweet dreams,
dreaming.
Till something's fine, you keep dreaming.
Gotta keep dreaming.
But in your dreams, whatever they be, you've got to make me a promise.
Oh, yeah.
Promise to me
you'll dream.
Dream a little dream of me.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
And thank you, Billy Shears. That was just fantastic. What a voice. What soul. I mean, just incredible. And Bob and I were chatting in our little production chat here, and I believe he's right with this bit of trivia that she died handcuffed to her hospital bed. How sick is that over a possession charge? Ah, but just what? Oh man, that's just dreamy. Yeah, you know, I see. You know, before I, you know, switched over and started playing guitar and whatnot, I spent the first 20 years of my musical life as a drummer, and man, just I loved swing. I really did. It was something that I never mastered. You know, but it really is some of the most amazing music. It really is. Ah, thank you, Billy. That was just incredible. How fantastic. Ah, that was really nice. I'm like all kind of chill now. And I'll tell you what, in the next segment of the show, I'm going to completely blow that mood, but hey, you know. Check out Billy Shears' blog, billyshearsmusic.com. You know, it's a great website. And we're going to be hearing, you know, more from Billy Shears next week. And wow. That was just outstanding. So I just think we should go out to the break, Bob, because anything I have to say will just, you know, be stupid after that. You listen to the horn, folks, and that was Billy Shears with the stuff that he comes up with. Never ceases to amaze me. So stick around, folks. I got some news and some stuff. And I actually have a little bonus track for today. And we'll get to that straight after this. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network, America's Liberal Voice. We'll be back after this.
sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. George Bush declared on July 4th that we, as a nation, are theistic. He was speaking to the West Virginia Air National Guard, and in his hapless way, he was trying to draw distinctions between Americans and the terrorists. Perhaps one way to differentiate between our thoughts is just think about religion, he said. Bush did make the valid point that here in America, we believe people should be able to worship any way they want, whereas Al-Qaeda is intolerant. But then Bush got off track. We believe in an almighty, he said. The problem with going there is, first of all, not all of us believe in an almighty. And secondly, Islamic fundamentalists also believe in an almighty. It's not a great idea for Bush to be playing tug-of-war with Al-Qaeda and to be making God the rope. He then invoked religious terminology to give support to his war on terror. It's our charge, it's our calling to keep the pressure on these people, he said. Well, that's just a more diplomatic way of saying that we're on a crusade, a concept Bush still evidently believes in but no longer says in public. He ended his speech with his usual prayer, "May God bless you and may God bless America." Well, in this age of virulent fundamentalism, we'd be a lot better off if Bush left God to himself. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is a known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robertson. After time, after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breeds that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And yeah, very, very good pick there, Bob, because where we're going now. Out here in Australia, we've got an organization called Get Up, and you can find them at getup.org.au, and they're basically Australia's version of Head On. Not Head On. Duh. Move On. And they're about to start airing a PSA over here that was paid for, shot, and recorded by a woman by the name of Louise Berry. Now, she was injured in the UK subway bombings 2 years ago, and this is just outstanding. I'll let it speak for itself. Now, it's a video on YouTube, but it's not very visual. It's all audio. So go ahead and roll this, Bob.
2 years ago, I was on the bus on my way to work in London when it was blown up by a suicide bomber. These recent attacks in London have brought back some really painful memories. I'm so concerned about our future, that's why I'm making this ad. Wasn't going to war in Iraq meant to make us feel safer, not put us in any more danger? Look, I'm no expert and I don't have all the answers, but I do know something about the real cost of terrorism. So 2 years later, and I feel I really need to ask the same question again. Mr. Howard, do you think that these things keep happening, at least in part, because of our involvement in the war in Iraq? The situation clearly isn't getting any better, and I don't want what happened to me to happen to any more Australians or anyone else for that matter. Prime Minister, please, you got us into this mess. It's your responsibility to get us out. That would make me feel a whole lot safer.
Authorised by Brett Solomon, Sydney.
I think that's just awesome. And the timing of the... And I think it's just luck of the draw, because they couldn't have known that the foreign minister yesterday was going to open up this can of worms by saying that we're... That Australia's in Iraq to secure energy resources. Well, I'll tell you what. Boy, is that blown up in his face. Holy crap. from The Age today, it says, coalition divided over Iraq. It says, the Howard government has descended into disarray over the Iraq war. And the prime minister and two of his most senior ministers providing conflicting statements on whether oil played a part in the decision to invade the country or to stay there. The chaos is triggered by a front-page report in The Age yesterday foreshadowing a major defense speech by John Howard in which he linked the war to world energy supplies for the first time. Before the Prime Minister spoke, Defense Minister Brendan Nelson was asked about the issue on morning radio. He stated that Iraq was an important source of oil and Australians should think about what would happen if coalition forces pulled out before the situation stabilized. Mr. Howard, in his speech to a conference in Canberra, cited energy demand as a number of strategic trends important for the U.S.-led coalition to succeed in Iraq. By the afternoon, however, Mr. Howard denied that oil was the reason to be in Iraq. We are not there because of oil. We didn't go there because of oil, and we didn't remain there because of oil. The reason we remain there is we want to give the people of Iraq a possibility of embracing democracy. Well, I'll tell you what. Mr. Brendan Nelson has been pulled up by his party, saying you will not speak outside the party lines, you will retract that statement, and it has been, from what I understand, these statements of his have gone all over the planet, and they are in such damage control. The press said, you know, I saw footage of him, you know, being cornered in Canberra by the press, you know, saying, about your statements yesterday. And he's just going, thank you very much, and walking on. He's had his ass handed to him by his bosses. And this guy's been adults before. It's not the first time. The Treasurer, Peter Costello, also flatly rejected Dr. Nelson's linking of oil and the occupation of Iraq. We're fighting for something much more important here than oil, Mr. Costello said. This is about democracy and freedom in the Middle East. And, you know, it's this thing that, you know, they're making it up as they go along. And can you just imagine when these statements came out, could you see Bush and Cheney getting on the phone going, what the hell are you doing down there? What? Please! We're having a hard enough time keeping it straight up here. We don't need you doing this. So, usually I don't do like a track of the day. So this is not an official track of the day when it's a Billy Shears day. But I just couldn't resist looking for something to play for Brendan Nelson. So I reckon that this should be in his iPod for him to be, to have to listen to, dedicated and sent to him by George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, Peter Costello, John Howard, all the other warmonger dickheads. And we'll just go out to the last break. And here is Alice Cooper, who my friend Scott Berry is touring with at this very, very moment down here in Australia, doing monitors for, with Hey Stupid. Roll it, Bob.
Hey, stupid!
This is the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio
at the Head On Radio Network.
Now get back to work.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path, one that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network as we bring it on home. And, you know, when things like this happen in Australia where, you know, Howard just, you know, loses it or one of his, you know, ministers does something really dumb, which is fairly often, one of the best places to get the vibe from is from my friend Tim Dunlop, who runs Road to Serfdom .com, but over on his news.com.au blog, Blogocracy, I'd gone to his blog yesterday where he says, you know, when this whole thing about that it's about the oil, you know, if you don't like the government's reason for staying in Iraq, just wait 4 months. Well, you know, the post then this morning was, oil ain't oil, apparently. He says, it seems the Howard government doesn't actually know why we are in Iraq. After clearly stating yesterday that energy demand, the PM, and oil, the defense minister, were part of the justification for Australia's continuing presence there, the government decided last night that we all had simply misunderstood, or something. He quotes the article that I read before. And then Tim comes back. I love Tim's take on things. Says, it really does speak to a government in confusion about a key policy issue and, frankly, doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. The Howard government has always held a lead over the opposition on the question of national security, but this won't do their credentials as a safe pair of hands any good. The simple fact is, despite the post-facto spin, the PM was reported to be speaking about energy demand as a justification for us being in Iraq. The defense minister, was asked about this, like the rest of us, understood that to mean securing oil supplies. What else would energy demand mean in that context of Iraq? Psychic energy? So Brendan Nelson could not have been clearer. He not only confirmed that oil was a reason for us still being there, he threw it down as a challenge to the Australian people. The entire Middle East region is an important supplier of energy, oil in particular, to the rest of the world. Australians and all of us need to think, well, what would happen if there was a premature withdrawal from Iraq? It was unequivocal until the PM went into damage control. It'd be funny if it wasn't so serious. We went there to get rid of WMD that didn't exist, and we're staying there not because of oil that does exist. Good grief. as far as I can see from reports this morning, two follow-up questions haven't been asked. What exactly did the PM in his speech mean by energy demand? And does the defense minister stand by his comments from yesterday? Well, he wasn't standing by much. In fact, he was running as far away from the media as fast as he could all day long. I just... It's becoming a circus. And Kevin Rudd's just sitting back and you know, having a laugh, basically, and saying, you know, do you believe this? And they're saying not to trust us? You know, they're constantly rewriting it on the run, on the fly. They're making it up as they go along. I mean, it's, you know, it's taking the lead from Shrubby Boy and Dick, I Am the Devil Cheney. You know, and I really think this PSA from Get Up, from this survivor of the London bombings, could really get some traction over the weekend. I think this would be this could be an interesting opportunity. Now, you know, I was at the top of the show, I was mentioning that I'm really of two minds about this whole Live Earth thing that's happening this weekend. And, you know, rock concerts are not tidy things. And major rock concerts are not tidy things. And some musicians have actually been speaking out on this. And from Breitbart.com, the Arctic Monkeys have come out and said rock group Arctic Monkeys have become the latest music industry stars to question whether the performers taking part in Live Earth on Saturday are suitable climate change activists. It's a bit patronizing for us 21-year-olds to start to change the world, said Arctic Monkeys drummer Matt Helders, explaining why the group is not on the bill of any of Al Gore's charity concerts. Especially when you're using enough power for 10 houses just for stage lighting. It'd be a bit hypocritical, he told the AFP in an interview before a concert in Paris. The bass player says, and we're always jetting off on airplanes. You know, and I like I said, there's a lot of validity to this, but then again, you know, in the big picture, is it a huge amount of damage? No. If action is taken because of the spotlight made on the issue over the weekend, if that happens, yeah, great. But, you know, I really have problems with it. You know, Bob Geldof has gone off about it. Roger Daltrey, singer from The Who, told a British newspaper, the Sunday Mail in May, the last thing the planet needs is a rock concert. But, you know, they're doing, you know, they're trying to bring together this massive audience to take action on climate change. And some say that rock stars tend to be big consumers. If we can get these people to turn the corner, then we're happy to do so. Planners have put an enormous effort into minimizing the environmental impact of the event in an effort to preempting sniping from critics about hypocrisy and the pollution caused by the concerts. Fans are being encouraged to share cars or use public transport to attend. All light bulbs will be energy efficient, and the food will be sourced locally where possible. And I do believe with your ticket price here in Sydney, you just are able to get on the train and get there from anywhere. You know, and that happens here in Sydney with most major events. Where we can't... All the signs from the New York show and the stage in Tokyo will be recycled or composted. Where we can't use biodegradable materials, there will be comprehensive recycling programs, said Rob, who says the Live Earth gigs will set new green standards for the events industry. And this could be the real kind of benefit as far as the production industry. And like I said, it's my former line of work, and I know how wasteful it can be. Huge amounts of power. I mean, the lighting has just gotten to be ridiculous. You know, even a small show, you know, being, you know, 20,000, you know, I'd we'd bring enough generators to something in an open air situation to power a small city, you know. But they say here, after the shows, the organizers, with the help of accountancy group PricewaterhouseCoopers and an army of consultants, will calculate the volume of carbon emissions created and will then offset the difference. Carbon offsetting means investing in carbon-reducing initiatives, yada, 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 planting trees, renewable energy. Rob highlights also good work being done by many artists. The Police and U.S. Funk punk rock band the Red Hot Chili Peppers are people who practice what they preach. Meanwhile, new metal headliners Linkin Park have their own climate change charity, and Hawaiian artist Jack Johnson tours in a biodiesel-fueled bus. And it's not the only ones. You know, there are plenty of them out there. Sheryl Crow's done some huge things to make her touring carbon neutral, and she wants to, you know, she's really full on about the issue. She's hugely full on about the issue. So, you know, it's a difficult thing. It's a really, really difficult thing. I don't know. Like I said, I still don't know exactly how to react to this. And here, you know, this is actually kind of a right-wing website that I'm at, but you know, there are valid points to this. But then again, you know, if it's going to develop new ways of putting on these kind of events to minimize the damage done, like I said before, internationally people are looking at the Sydney part of the event as really a blueprint, and international football codes and a few others are saying, you know, okay, we want to know how you're doing this because we want to make what we do, you know, less damaging on the environment, you know. So maybe this will end up actually paying off. I don't know. But, you know, when I first heard about it, I have to say that I recoiled. I just said, ooh, I don't know about this. And, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Yeah. Do we need another massive rock concert? I don't know. But like I said, I am going to check out some of it because I want to watch Crowded House. And I want to see Spinal Tap. Other than that, there's not that much else that's playing that I'm really that interested in. The Police would be cool, too. And I saw the UK lineup, and as far as the headliners, it's all Americans. That kind of struck me as weird. At least what was plugged in the papers here. You know, the Police and I don't remember who, but I was sitting there going, I'm like, who's English in this entire list? You know, not a one. But anyway, guess about time to wrap it up. Thanks to Bob Kincaid for producing today. Excellent job. It's been kind of just a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants kind of day. And thank you to Ben Birch. And what a really cool conversation Ben and Bob had last night about the whole 9/11 thing, you know, because I have some pretty strong views on that, but my views are more, I got a hell of a lot of questions, and Ben threw some interesting things into the mix last night, and sure gave me a few things to think about. And there were some points made about not letting this sidetrack us from, you know, the things that we, you know, really can use and confirm to get rid of the Bush regime. Some really, really valid points. I thought that was just fantastic. And before we get out of here, thanks to our bloggers and our mods for everything that they do. Again, thank you, Ben Birch, for the streaming and the archives. Thank you to the Carpenters for everything they do. Thank you to everyone who's made donations to the network this week. We are humbled, to say the least. Thank you to Scott Berry at B1 Ladder Productions, who is out touring with Mr. Alice Cooper as we speak. He's probably bumping out a gig right now. Thank you to you for spending this time with me, and we will see you on Monday. And as we say here on Fox Dub, be good, be green. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend.
if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f- if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dogfish. And sometimes I would rather face not eating than face licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish. And I tell you that I'm suffering from the worst type of loneliness, the loneliness of being misunderstood.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. The siege of the Red Mosque is in its third day, and Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf has said his troops will not storm the mosque while women and children are inside. Troops surrounded the mosque on Wednesday after tensions between security forces and mosque followers erupted into deadly clashes. 19 people have been killed. Shots were fired at President Musharraf's plane as it took off from a military base today, a senior security official calling it a failed assassination attempt. Military police found a cache of weapons on the roof of the house near the airport, but none were anti-aircraft weapons. Musharraf was unhurt. Another Republican senator is breaking with President Bush over the war in Iraq. A six-term U.S. Senator Pete Domenici of New Mexico said he wants to see an end to U.S. combat operations in Iraq. He says he wants U.S. troops home by next spring. Domenici is one of several Republican stalwarts who have recently come out against the way the White House is running the war. Two NATO soldiers have been killed during an operation in eastern Afghanistan. Alliance officials have not disclosed the nationalities of the soldiers or the area where the operation took place. Most NATO soldiers serving in eastern Afghanistan are American. British reporter Alan Johnston met with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas to thank him for helping to secure his release after 4 months in captivity in Gaza. Johnston's release was the result of a deal between his captors, the Army of Islam, and Hamas leaders. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown says police are getting to the bottom of a cell behind the failed car bombings in London and Glasgow, Scotland. Australian police have questioned five more doctors and seized new evidence, including computers and other materials. Thailand's new draft constitution has been approved by a military-backed commission. It'll be put to a national referendum next month. Venezuelan